Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Well, look, it's a very special day because it's a day we do remember of the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Actually, every Sunday is a day when we remember the conquering of death, the triumph over the grave of our Lord and Saviour. Actually, it's not just every Sunday, it's every day that we remember, do we not, of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And when we come to a place like this on this occasion, I know that we think back and we remember of all that he's done 2,000 years ago, yet there's something of the power and of the reality and of the truth of what Jesus Christ has done would be present with us even this very moment. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that by the Spirit of holiness, which he has been declared to be the Son of God by the raising from the dead, that we do believe and we are taught that that very same Spirit is at work even amongst his church and amongst his people in a very special way. It's not only that we are to know the news, but you know tonight, as we'll come and testify in the very witness of baptism, it's a wonderful picture of the gospel itself, of the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, that we would die with him and we would then this night walk in a newness of life with him. And if there's one thing that we desperately need at this time, is that we need, don't we, the experience of that resurrection power within our life. I think it was the famous philosopher Nietzsche who said, "I would believe in the Christian faith if Christians would only live what they believed." And one of the things that we believe is this, is that we are people of the resurrection. He was big on power. And what we've got is this, that if only we walked in some power. So often we're weak and we're defeated and we are focused on the things of this world and not on the things which are above. And if only we would know something of that power of the resurrection in our lives. The Apostle Paul actually has a prayer, and the prayer is that he prayed that the same power which raised up Christ, that we would come to know even in our lives this night. And this night, for this special occasion, we've got one little verse for us. And this, Wendy and Luther, is your baptism verse. We've got a nice little card for you. It's written out for you. I want you to think upon it, to remember it. And it's found here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And that little verse has just simply got 3 points for you. That you would know Jesus Christ in your life personally more and more. That you would know his power in your life more and more. That you would know him passionately in your life more and more. And very simply, this great testimony. We're going to have testimonies tonight. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. That I may know him. What a testimony that is. It's a living one. It's a present one. It's not one which is simply in the past. And what the Apostle Paul is doing is this. He's writing to these people. He has something to teach them. They're in difficulties. They're in problems. They're squabbling and arguing. And they're people now who have perhaps lost sight of what it is to have the mind of Christ in their little tiffs that they've got in the church. And then he wants them to teach them, although there may be a life of suffering, I want you to rejoice. And what the Apostle Paul does, he begins to lay out to them in this chapter of what then they are to beware of. Beware of religion. Beware of rituals. Beware of the dogs. Beware of mutilation. Beware those of circumcision. Beware of that form of religion which is taken up with the externals, because those who worship God are those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And the testimony of the Apostle Paul, this is not about religion. This is about truly a relationship where you've been united with Christ, you're buried with him, you rise with him. And the whole aspect of the Christian life is a personal testimony of that knowledge of him. And the Apostle Paul begins to tell them of how he once was, how he lived by his rules, by his regulations, by his traditions, by his religion, by all the ceremonies that you could find. He then says, I obeyed every one of them. And you need to know tonight that this isn't about religion. It's not about liturgy. It's about life. And he wants them to know it. And as he begins to speak to them, he says, look, this is what it's like now for me. In verse 8, yet I also count all things loss for the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's where I've come to in my personal experience. And verse 9, that I would be found in him. I'd be found in him apart from my own righteousness, but trusting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. That's that personal testimony that he has then for them. Do you know, anyone who comes to Jesus Christ, I can tell you now, it's a testimony of a Christian. It's not that he doesn't know him. He knows him. But he wants to know him more. And anyone who does come to know Jesus Christ, I assure you, you want to know him more and more. He is the best one you can ever know. He's the most delightful one you can ever know. And the more then you hear of him and know of him, the better. And when a person becomes a Christian, it's just the beginning of that great growth and that knowledge of who Jesus is, all his beauty, all his splendor. Let me just say to you, every one of us as a human being has a great thirst for knowledge. As part of it being a human being. That's what brought down the fall in the first place. There was a tree of knowledge, and someone had to go and take of that forbidden fruit. And every one of us, perhaps you're an expert on general knowledge. Perhaps you've studied in a certain subject and you've honed your whole interest on one particular thing. Yet at the end of the day, look, there's a knowledge. You may have a biblical knowledge, a religious knowledge. And all you can know many things. As Mr. Spurgeon once said, you can know so many things about Jesus Christ. You can know where he was born. You can know where he lived. You can know the miracles he did. You can know everything about Easter and even the cross and Good Friday. You can know the story of the resurrection. You can name the 12 apostles. You can do all that. You know everything of the life of Jesus. But you need to know Christ's life, which is in you. That knowledge of that reality, of that life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is in one. I don't know if, here's those words, that I may know him. I wonder if you've ever had that thought in your head. I mean, you may have had it. You may have come to a place of worship or someone's spoken to you and you realize that they know something about Jesus Christ that you don't have. It's definitely not the knowledge, but they know something of the experience. They know they're forgiven. They talk of the love of God. They speak of a living relationship which is with him. And they talk with him, they walk with him, a long life's little way. And you go to a place of worship and it seems to be a bit alive and it's not dead. And you think to yourself, do you know, in my heart of hearts, I wish I could know him as these people know him. And the Apostle Paul, it's not that he didn't know him, he definitely did know him. The thing with the Apostle Paul was this, he knew very much about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was given great revelations. And as he had the great revelation, even at the Damascus Road, because he had that revelation, he knew something of the implications. And then he's got a desire that he would know more of this great gospel of what God has done in Jesus Christ. He's got that great desire. Look, if anyone here is a Christian and says that they've believed in Jesus, and you don't know anything more about him than the day you were in Sunday school, or the day you put your hand up, there's something not quite right. This is a personal experience. It is a union with him. It's that hymn writer puts it, more about Jesus would I know, more of his love to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Personal. Just mark that down. Now, secondly, just simply tonight, powerful. Powerful. This is what he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, this was very important to Paul. Because as you know, the story of the Apostle Paul, when he was converted, it was a dramatic conversion. It's the Paul of the Damascus Road conversion. His name was Saul at the time, and he was persecuting, as he tells us here, even the church. He was against the things of Christ. He wasn't for them. He was taking and hounding the people, putting them in prison. But Jesus came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he says, who are you? Those words, I am Jesus. And he knew something of that shining light and the power. And that resurrection power, he says, I want to know more and more. Let me tell you of the resurrection power. The resurrection power which God did in the Lord Jesus by raising from the grave is the power of the evidence of who Jesus Christ really is. When you think of all that Jesus Christ said, the claims that he made about being the Son of Man and the Son of God and the great I am, and the great claims that Jesus made that he had power to lay down his life and power to take it again, the claims that Jesus made that he came and gave his life as a ransom for many and he was going to be an atonement for our sin. Do you know that the resurrection, the fact that there's an empty tomb, is the very proof of the reality of the very person and the achievement that Jesus Christ came to do? And Paul says, I want to know more of that, more of what it was that Christ rose from the dead, entered in through the everlasting doors, the evidence of the claim that he's the Christ and reigning, and he's on that throne today. Told you before, don't ever believe the news that we're living in a post-Christian culture or world. Rubbish. Christ is still on the throne and he's still ruling, and he's not then vacated that throne. And Paul says, I want to know more of that power. Let me tell you of the power of the resurrection. It is incredible. He says in Romans chapter 4 that he was risen for our justification. That the very fact, as you sang tonight, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried, my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day is coming, oh glorious day. Do you know the power of the resurrection? And we need it in our lives. That you can stand right with God. That you can be justified in his sight tonight to a holy, a great, and a wonderful God. That you can approach him. And look, if you only had that power, you know what your life is like. You feel your sin. You know your unworthiness. You never feel you're good enough. You know that things are not right in your life. You don't even know if you're forgiven. And all that takes away the burden which is on you, the guilt which you carry, the shame which you've got. If you could only know that God has accepted that sacrifice and my righteousness tonight is in heaven, not in my life, not in my heart. It stands before God. It's a wonderful power. Shall I tell you of that power? This is the power it is. That every one of us here tonight, you say, well, what do you do with it? It's not big muscles. It's not I got great miracles. You can stand before God tonight and you can pray to him as a justified sinner. You know that you're a sinner and you know that you're right. That's powerful. You come boldly into his presence and you're able to come to him. I'll tell you the power that then Paul speaks of here. It's the power of the resurrection where the Holy Spirit came and raised him, the Spirit of holiness. The third person of the Trinity was involved in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know he's been involved in the resurrection of your lives spiritually who have come to know him? And what happened is this, is that Spirit which came now and separated him from this world then of decay and of death and of sin, and that he's now then, in that sense, he is one which has come and been separated in a special way. When a person becomes a Christian, do you know, there is something that you can know in your life. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins, but he made alive. He quickened by his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit has come into our lives. And what he's done is that he has given us now a new dimension, what you're to live for, the things that you aim for, your mind and your thinking. And what he comes and sanctifies you. And he comes and does those things by the purity of his Spirit, taking his word. Do you know, the only way that a person can ever know of any greater progress and holiness and the things of God is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul says, if I could know him and the power of his resurrection and that Spirit which is now working within me, that's making me now not look on the things of this world but look to the things which are high, that's power for you. Shall I tell you of the power of the resurrection? It is incredible. I don't know if you've been in a home where death has taken place and it's an empty experience. All hope is gone. And people have no comfort at all. Well, what a great place it is to tell people that there's one who has conquered death. Death is not the end. Christ has shown us there's a way through. Christ has made a way through. And everyone who comes to believe in him, that's all they've got to do. Just call out upon him. They can know of this everlasting life. And I can tell you, anybody who does that, that's where they are this very night. The comfort of that. He can heal the brokenhearted. He can raise those which are cast down. And no other religion in the world has got that news. But you know it by the power of the resurrection. Look, it's the power of his resurrection, which Paul then even mentions here. In verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, and there he is in verse 21, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things. Do you know, Paul says, I want to know that power. One day our bodies will be laid in the grave, and one day they will rise again. Oh, that's his, he wants to know it in one's life. But there's one more thing, and you need to read it here. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And I've put this, that you know more of that participation in the passion of Christ. Now, don't get us wrong. We're not here in any triumphal gig tonight. That you know what it's like. You watch them on the God channel. They can do amazing things. We're not on about that. This baptism, which we're on about, you have died with Christ. You will rise with Christ. And the two go together. And they're not separated. What happens is this. Before you can know of a crown, you've got to know of a cross. And what happens in the life of any church, if you want to know of power in your life, Paul says, well, he knows the way. The way to that power is being conformed even unto his death. That death which is on a cross. I'll tell you about the church at the moment. You may think that you go to a prospering and a very lively and a very, perhaps, do it kind of church. Church in the West is very weak. But there is a church in this world which is suffering. And they're suffering for Christ. And they've been a witness for him in incredible places. And where they're suffering for Christ, there's a powerful church. And the church has always been powerful when it's been weak and it's been suffering and standing for the truth. And in those very times, in those very places, their testimony has shone more than any other time and any other place. Now, listen to the lesson. Because in your life and in your experience, you're going to need the power of God to be working in you. And you say, well, where does it come from? It only ever comes by being conformed unto his death. A person becomes a Christian. You found life in his death. You have found strength in his weakness. You found light in his darkness. That's where it comes from. And when you become a Christian, we're talking about being identified with him, the fellowship with him. And I will have something to say to you. Look, there are no special principles on living the Christian life. I haven't got 7 little steps for you now to get better. But I will tell you this, Luther and Wendy, this is not rocket science. It is never rocket science. And this day is a big day. And I tell you why it's a big day. Because what you're doing is that you're showing outwardly what's happened inwardly. But you know, you can never work out sometimes what's going on inwardly. But you know that one day something happened outwardly where you can mark the day, the 31st of March, 2024. There was a public confession made. Well, I went through the waters of baptism and I went under those waters and I was then united with him in his death. And then I came forth and I've risen with him in a newness of power. And in your life, you're going to keep coming back to that. You say, what am I coming back to? I'm coming back to the very place where I've known the death and I've known something of Christ's sufferings. I keep coming back to it. Never further than the cross. Never higher than his feet. And on that ground, the power you will find. It's not that I've come to Calvary when I was first converted and I've moved on. I've come to Calvary every day because you've got to come to know of that cleansing blood and all that he gives. You say, well, I remember that. It's in his death. Now look, just for this fellowship, no one's greater than their master. And the step that you're taking tonight is going to be one which is going to make you exposed. Darkness doesn't like light. The world doesn't like the children of God. There's a fellowship that you're going to have in his sufferings. Now, Christ suffered fully on that cross. He cried out and said, it's finished, it's paid. There's no more to pay. You know that. There's nothing else you can do for your sin. He has paid it all. But when you come to him, he says you're to take up your cross and you're to deny yourself and you are to follow him. Here's your little verse, because everything you're going to do is actually then going to be an outward expression of this very verse, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, being conformed unto his suffering. That's what takes place. And this evening, you know, our prayer will be, because it's the greatest knowledge of all, is that you may know him in all that dimension and in all those ways. It's the testimony which is for each and every one of us this evening.